Our passage today is found in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. As a reminder, we're talking about the images of the church. The images of the church. And it's almost like we're coming into a museum, and in the museum, each painting is a different image of who we are called to be as the church. And Scripture is full of different paintings of what it means to be the church. Today, the painting is of how we are called to be the children of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has his hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Our focus really is on the beginning of verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. My youngest son, Caleb, is no longer 4. He's now 5. This week was his birthday. We have a way of communicating our love to each other in that I tell my sons, however old they are, that's how much I love them. So Alex, for instance, is 12. So I love him 12. That's how much he is. I love all of him. Brett also had a birthday last Sunday. He's 9, so I love him 9. Caleb went from 4 to 5, and so I love him 5. That's all that he is, all that he has. Something magical happens in the night from when you're 4 to 5. My heart grows, and I'm able to love him more. But even as we talk about that in a family, I also say to my sons, it's not just that I love you how much you are. God loves you more than that. Well, how can God love me more than what I am? Well, God knows you better than you know yourself. And He also is a God that's not limited to time and space. Meaning, He loves you in the moment that you are right now, but He also loves all that you ever will be. He's big enough to do that. In describing God's love, Romans chapter 8 says this, verse 28, Paul writes to the church in Rome, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from a love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's a whole lot of descriptors there about how God loves us. Let's just focus on one of them, the depth. Anybody go swimming? Yes. Has anyone ever gone swimming? Yes. Great. It's hot outside. Swimming is good. It's not just swimming from your, you know, from your the door of your house to the mailbox in the humidity. It's actually diving in the water and swimming in some cold, refreshing water. It's a good thing. How deep can you swim? What's the maximum you can go down and still make it up? I'm assuming you've all made it up. Is it 8 feet? Surely you can go 8 feet. 10 feet? 12 feet? Can you go down 15 feet? That's a deep pool now. You jump off the diving board, you know, straight down like an arrow, and then you still have to swim hard to get to the bottom, and then you get to the bottom and kick off hard to be able to make it back up 15 feet. Have any scuba divers in the room? There's a couple. Scuba divers can go down the maximum that you can while scuba diving, the world record. 1,082 feet. It's pretty deep. You start running out of light when you go that deep. You know, light can only go down so far, and the water gets dark. That's deep. What about submarines? How deep can submarines go? It turns out that submarines can go somewhere around 2,400 feet. And at that level, 2,400 feet, what happens is that the weight of all the water is crushing down on the submarine and will actually crush it. 2,400 feet. You know, at the depth of 2,400 feet, God's love hadn't even touched the amount that it can go. Neither height nor depth. That as deep as you can swim, as deep as a scuba diver can go, as deep as a submarine can go, and deeper. That's how much God's love is. And that's just the depth. What about the height? How high have you flown? God's love is there. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from a love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1 says this: how great is the love? We come to questions of application. That means we're taking God's word and we're applying it to our lives. It's what helps us continue in that process of transformation, becoming who God wants us to be. Our first application question, if you're taking notes, this is what you should write down. What helps you remember the scope of God's love for you? What helps you remember the scope of God's love for you? Maybe every time you jump in the water during the summer and you go down, maybe you'll be reminded, it doesn't matter how deep I go, God still loves me. Maybe it's when you're in an airplane traveling somewhere. No matter how high I go, God is going to love me. Romans talks about that there's nothing, neither present nor future. What if every time you look at your watch, you're reminded of how much God loves you, second by second, moment by moment? First application question: what helps you remember the scope of God's love for you? Because sometimes we forget how much God loves us. We just forget. And God loves us enormously. The verse goes on: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. The Father. Let's talk a little bit about who it is that loves us. Exodus gives us his name in a conversation with Moses. God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites: I am has sent you. That God is not just somebody who was, and he's not just somebody who is, and he's not just somebody who will be. He's all of it. That's what I am accomplishes. When you look at Revelation chapter 1, he actually says this: I am the Alpha and the Omega. That means the beginning and the end. Who was, who is, who was, and who is to come. The Almighty. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, how great is the love the Father. We kind of shuffle it underneath the deck when we think about who it is that loves us. We forget who he is, really. Here's some characteristics of God. I'm just going to read out 14 of them. Related to Scripture, I'll read it. I'll read the Scripture as well. God is infinite. It means he's self-existing and without origin. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Colossians 1, verse 17. God's immutable. That means he never changes. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. God is self-sufficient. He has no needs. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son also to have life in himself. John 5, 26. God is omnipotent. Means he's all-powerful. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33, verse 6. God is omniscient, all-knowing. Remember the former things, those of long ago? I am God, and there is no other. I am God. There's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. God is wise, full of perfect wisdom. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable are his ways. Romans 11, verse 33. God is faithful. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, verse 8. God is just, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteousness and upright is he. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. There's just four more we'll list. God is gracious. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. That's Psalms 145, verse 8. God is loving. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And God is glorious. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand. And there is the hiding of his power. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4. You know who loves you? The God of the universe. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. The almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient God of the universe loves you. The bigness, the vastness, the imminence, the intimacy. He loves you, the huge, big God, the God that is with us in the moments. God himself loves you. We cannot pass by who it is that loves us. We can't just skip through the words, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, and just shuffle it to the bottom and disregard who it is, or treat his love like another, because his love is not like another, because his love is astoundingly beyond anything that we can understand or imagine because of who he is. He's God, the great God, the unchanging, almighty, all-powerful God. That's the God who loves you. That God. Our second application question is this. Describe the Father who loves you. Describe the Father who loves you. Why would that be an application question? Because too often we forget who God is. Too often we skip past it. Write his characteristics down. Study his word. Examine your own life and what you've seen and experienced. Describe the Father who loves you. It's an awe-inspiring, humbling reality. Chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Remember, our image is of being children of God. There's a difference between paternity and fatherhood. Every day, millions of children are born around the world. Paternity, Barclay talks about, a commentator, a relationship in which a father is responsible for the physical existence of a child. Surely, God has that paternity over all of creation. Read, this is in Genesis chapter 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That all are made in the image of God, that we all have his mark on us. Certainly, that's true. But it's beyond just that he's paternity. He's father. Father requires relationship. Father requires interaction. Fatherhood describes an intimate, loving, continuous relationship. In the sense of fatherhood, we are only children of God when God makes his a gracious approach to us and we respond. Here's what I mean. I'm a parent. I can typically tell when something's wrong with my children. Caleb is one of the easiest ones. Remember, I told you he's 5. When something's wrong with Caleb, it's blatantly obvious. You want to know how? This is how he walks when something's wrong. Caleb, is there something wrong? No. Caleb, do you want to talk about it? No. Caleb, I can't help you if you don't talk to me. If you'll just talk to me and talk to me about it, we can deal with whatever it is. I'm ready to help you, whatever it is. You realize that the great God of the universe is way better than me as a parent. He knows already the burden that we're bearing that makes us slumped over. He knows already the things that we bear on our own lives, the sins that we carry. He knows already. And he says to us, will you let me help you? If you'll just let me help you, I will. I've made provisions for you. It's the death and resurrection of my son, Jesus, for your sins to be forgiven. I've made a way for you to be saved out of darkness into life. I've made a way for you to go from slumping to rejoicing. Oh, if you would just trust me. If you would just have a relationship with me, I'm ready. I'm pursuing you. Will we have a relationship with him? Will we choose to be his child? First John chapter 3 talks about how great the love is. Talks about how awesome the Father is. And then it describes relationship. Children. And that is what we are. If you're not a Christian in the room, then I hope you would just stop there and say, I can be a child of God. God's pursuing me, he loves me, and he desires to have a relationship with me. Even now. He knows already all the things that I've done. He knows already all the bad stuff. He knows the burdens. He knows the pain. He knows all of it, and he's ready to be Father. He's ready. Some of us in the room are Christians already, and we've been Christians for a while. And somehow, we manage, even though God has lifted the burdens off of us, to put them back on our shoulders. And we have to come again to God and allow him. Allow him to be Father again. Allow him to take the burden off again. Recognizing it's not ours to carry. Recognizing he wants to be Father. Our last application questions are this. Have you allowed yourself to be God's child? Have you allowed yourself to be God's child? And then the second, are you allowing him to be your Father in every circumstance of your life? Are you allowing him to be your Father in every circumstance of your life? Remember, he already knows. Will you allow him to exhibit that great and mighty love that he has? We're coming to our time of response. We'll sing a hymn together. If you're not a Christian in the room and you know that you need to respond, even now you could walk forward and say, I need to be a Christian. And we would talk about what that looks like together. If this is too much pressure for you, that's okay. I'm pretty easy to find right outside those doors. Or better yet, I'd love for you to talk to one of your Christian friends that's here about how God can be your father. Either one is fine. There's others of us who are Christians already and we're looking for a church home. This is a place where we do our best to love God, to love each other, and bring his love into the world. And if that's who you are, then during this time you can walk forward and become a part of our church family. And then there's a last group of people in the room that are Christians and members already. And when we sing a song, we don't just sing words, we also invite response in our hearts to the questions we've proclaimed. Remember the prayer we said at the beginning, that we would listen to God and be obedient. So you allow his word to speak to your heart, and you make whatever changes need to be made, walking out different than when we walked in. Please, stand with me as we sing our hymn of response together.